Greetings, everyone. Be blessed. I hope you're having an amazing holiday season. I just want to send my love to you guys and say happy holidays while we're going through this holiday season. I've been really thinking about a lot of people and how for a lot of people, this is a great season. It's a great time. But for others, it's a very sad time, depressing time, because everybody goes through different seasons in life. And for the past couple of weeks, I've been wanting to really talk about the dark night of the soul. So this podcast is going to be on that. And the reason why I'm speaking on this is because I actually experienced my dark night of the soul during college, and it was a crazy time. But I feel like this is the best time to kind of talk about it, but also close the year with it, because it's all old now. And in the spirit of releasing the old, I thought it'd be a good idea to share everything and kind of explain to you what the dark night of the soul is, and also give you some real-time commentary on what my journey was with it. As humans, we often seek pleasure and avoid pain, leaving an empty feeling on the inside. Most of us long for completion, which is what we truly want, and this can't be achieved by worldly pleasures. We must go within to reach the inner core of our being, the soul, where the divine is hidden. Through transformation, which happens through the darkness of our subconscious, we have to go through it in order to reach the light. This can be a very confusing and even frustrating or sad period in one's journey. Through the dark night of the soul, we will adopt a different perception of reality. Dark night of the soul is like a spiritual depression, which is hard to perceive or grasp. Everyone goes through this on their journey to oneness with the Creator. In this place, we realize that we don't truly know ourselves, and we don't even know what we want, and we've been living through our ego. Some people are blinded by the senses and the worldly pleasures, never going beyond the search for sensual pleasures. Others, like myself, are feeling like something is missing, and we know that it can't be filled by external things like money, success, or even relationships. Life changes, and everything is not what it seems. We lose faith in old ideas and even our overall lifestyle. And this is like taking the red pill, and I'm referring to the Matrix, red pill, blue pill. The dark night of the soul is a purging process that causes us to release all the unhealed or unnecessary things that hold us back from being the best possible version of ourselves. We're supposed to release everything that is holding us back from being oneness with God. And now I'm going to share a little bit of my journey as far as the dark night soul goes. But before I do that, I just want to say there are like four different phases of the dark night of the soul. The first phase is identity crisis. The second is the shattering of the belief system. The third is withdrawing. And the fourth and final step, well, phase, is transformation. And now I want to touch back on my journey as far as going through this whole experience, which at the time I had no idea I was going through it. And the dark night of the soul is it's a long process. Like, it's not something that happens in a month or two. For me, it happened over the course of almost 4 years until I realized, you know, I was at that transformation piece in the puzzle, or whatever you want to call it. So let's back up here. I want to give you guys a full breakdown so you can understand the journey and just where I came from, how I got to where I am now, and just all of the things that were a part of this path that I was on. So once upon a time, long time ago, almost 5 years ago, I was in a rough place. I was a Christian and I was a PTSD basket case. And I say that I had let my trauma pretty much rule my life. I was living in a state of fear. I was making decisions out of a state of fear because I was just so scared. I didn't understand why God would allow something so detrimenting to myself or my ego happen to me. Like, it didn't make sense. When I got attacked by the dogs, I literally lost a part of myself. Like, I died in several different ways. It's hard to explain it, but if you want to know more about that, you guys can go listen to my testimony on when I got attacked by pit bulls back in like 2008. But anyway, so I was in this really dark place and I was still trying to keep faith, but there was just, I just didn't understand why God allowed the situation to happen. And I kind of started going through this process of like, why God, why would you allow this to happen? I just didn't understand, honestly. there are four phases of the dark night of the soul. The first stage is identity crisis. While I was in college, when I first got there, I thought I knew myself. I was headstrong, and I felt like I knew how school was gonna play out. And then by my second quarter of college, my life got completely flipped upside down, and I experienced a part of myself that I never did before. My experience in college was different but necessary. I got to experience my shadow and my ego like never before. I wasn't really aware of it before college until I experienced it. I mean, I know I said that already, but like literally, it was like I came into school in a depressed space, but I was very much still a Christian, and I was very strong with my morals and just my beliefs, and everything was like, I'm gonna be honest, I thought I knew everything that I could know. And I've learned since then that I know nothing, I am nothing, I have nothing, and I can do nothing outside of Jesus Christ. But during that time, I thought I knew everything, and I'm just being honest. But I realized by the end of my college experience that I literally knew nothing, and I needed God for everything. Like, the galaxy is just too big for me to know everything. But, you know, I was like 18, so of course I'm headstrong. I thought I knew everything. And so I was confident in myself, but also I had went through a traumatic experience in my youth, and that kind of carried with me to college. So when I went to school, I was kind of trying to escape my reality that back home, and this was like the perfect place to be someone else in a sense. So I went there as this naive Christian boy, but also headstrong. Like, I was like, nothing is gonna change my beliefs or blah 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 blah. Like, I'm gonna be protected, and you know, I'm gonna be a saint and whatnot. And then by my second quarter, everything that I thought I knew kind of changed. And so my identity crisis came when I started acting through my shadow, which is pretty much everything within my being that I was opposed to, I didn't like about myself, or didn't like about others. That became who I was. So for example, when I was younger, I used to say I was never gonna smoke, I was never gonna drink, I was never gonna do this, I was never gonna do that. And so I had a strong dislike for people who did those things, or not a strong dislike, but I was against all those things. And then by my second quarter of college, I found myself basically being that person that I didn't like. And so it shook my you know, being. Like, I was like, oh snap. It created this dualistic personality, and I became a person that I didn't recognize. And before all of this, I was pretty quiet. Like, I was I dealt with a lot of things internally, and I didn't really share it with others. I kept to myself. I wasn't really into a lot of people. I was very much preserving my energy because I always felt like people were against me. But through college, I opened myself up a little bit more, and I made friends, and I started hanging out with people. And I thought, in order to achieve, I don't know, like acceptance, that I had to partake in a lot of things that other people were doing. And for a season, it worked. Everything was cool, and it was a moment. Like, it opened my eyes in different ways. But by the time I was finished with college, I realized that I had changed so much that I didn't like the person that I had become. And right at the end of my college experience, not really the end, but like mid end of college, I had two quarters before I graduated, is where I started to change myself, or not change myself, but I started to realize that I wanted to change, and that I needed God to help me get through school. And it was a mess, but I went through this identity crisis literally because I was faced with two versions of myself, the person I wanted to be and the person that I was. And it was a hard time for me, honestly, because the person who I wanted to be, which is the person I am today, it felt unachievable. I felt like I couldn't get there. It was like I had created a monster within myself, or not really created a monster, but fed a monster that was already there. And when I started feeding that monster, it just didn't want to go away. And so I had this period where my flesh, my spirit, they were going back to back. They were facing each other. They were battling. I had a phase where my ego was battling my spirit, and then my shadow was just fully emerged, and just everything was different, and I was seeing life through this lens that I didn't necessarily want to see it through, and everything was just wild. And when I realized all of this was in my mind, in a sense, I don't mean literally my mind, but like projecting most of everything that was happening around me, it was just kind of like, whoa, okay, how do I, now that I've seen that this is in me, I'm capable of all this stuff, all this chaos, honestly, I went to God and I just put everything before him. And I was like, yo, man, hey, you're the only person that could change me at this point, because I'm a mess. Like, I'm a hot mess. And there's nothing I can do other than try and put my best foot forward. But ultimately, God was the one who changed me in the end. But anyway, first phase, identity crisis. Everybody's going to go through a period where they are questioning who they are, what they are, and everything that they've been through. And what I have to say about this is God will tell you who you are. Reading the word of God and finding out who you truly are within God is what truly matters. And so don't get lost in this phase or this part of the phase, because like it can be a very confusing period when you are truly trying to figure out who you are and questioning what you want to do or who you are, who you've been, or who you want to be. Like it's a very confusing period, but don't get lost in it, because it ultimately, you're going to be who God wants you to be in the end of all of this regardless. So who you are right now in this moment, it could be, you know, a hot mess, and that's okay. Just know that by the end of this thing, you're going to be who you're meant to be. Phase two, the shattering of belief systems. Now, mid period of my college experience, my faith went out of the window. And when I say that, I was around a lot of non-believers, and I'm going to be honest. My mom used to say, you either influence people or they influence you. So around this time, I was very much influenced by the outside people around me. Like everyone that was around me, they weren't believers. They weren't Christians. I think I had one Christian friend in college, and they were just as wild as me. So it was like we were feeding off of each other's energies, and that energy was very worldly. So that's how my mindset was mid college. And when I say mid college, I mean, I attended college for like 3 years. I graduated and everything, but I was only supposed to be there for 2 years, and I ended up having to stay three. Long story, hot mess, I know. But during the second year there, I kind of lost myself. I lost my faith, lost religion. I wasn't really connected to God during this time. I wasn't praying. I felt so ashamed of myself that I felt like I couldn't even repent. And even if I repented, God wouldn't accept me. He wouldn't hear me. So I just kind of abandoned everything and was just living a sinful lifestyle. And I still live a sinful lifestyle for the most part, because there's nothing you can do about it. You know, sin is inevitable. Like, we sin regardless if you're consciously sinning or not. So when I say a sinful life, I don't mean like I'm out here smoking and stuff now, but I mean like I might, you know, say a little cuss word here and there, and I gotta repent real fast. But like back then, there was no repenting at all. It was just, oh man, I guess that's one more check in the bad book. Like, that's how I felt. And I was around a lot of people who kind of felt like the same way. So anyway, my whole belief system was shattered. Mind you, before I came to college, I was very strong with my faith, because that was all I was around. I got to college and I was presented an environment that was godless. So naturally, I just kind of jumped right into it and, you know, tried to fit in with it. In the end, it didn't work out, and God moved me around away from majority of the people I was around, and he did some wonders, and we'll talk about that later. But during this time, I experienced kind of a disbelief in God. Like, I was really questioning if God was real. I was questioning who God was for me. I was questioning everything. I was like, I questioned everything. I questioned the word of God. I was questioning everything. And so my prior beliefs really did shatter for a while, and they were shattered. Like, it was, I had broken faith for a long time. And at this point, I wasn't praying. I wasn't seeking God. I don't know what was going on, but it was just a mess. But I also wasn't in the right state of mind. I felt like I lost the Holy Spirit. It was just a hot mess, y'all. But like, eventually, I got back to my senses, thanks to God. And I was able to figure out what was true for me. And I'm not going to go into details with that, but there was a lot of stuff in college, a lot of influences that were, you know, kind of dropping little seeds here and there. And I'd be like, oh man, is this true or not? And then God started revealing stuff to me later on, after like a whole year later. But regardless of that, the belief systems will be challenged during this time, during the dark night of the soul. You're probably going to question a lot of things. And the only thing I can say about that is stay true to what resonates with you. Seriously, if you know it is true within your soul, then it's true. Nothing's going to change that. And for me, I grew up in church. So I came from a very religious background. My parents are pastors, my grandparents are pastors. I used to go to church literally almost 4 times a week. So it was very, I was getting a lot of truth within my life from a lot of different angles. So by the time I got to college, I had so much religious ideas, and just my belief system was very religious, I'll say that. Now, the tail end of this is I came out of college more spiritual than Christian. And I know for some people out there that may rub them the wrong way, but what I mean by that is my idea of God is much more grand than it ever was. You know, in a sense, I was kind of, being a Christian, I was kind of taught to view God a certain way. And now I've learned that I can't even perceive God. And by perceive, I mean God is that mighty, that amazing, that great, that I can't, my human mind can't perceive just his amazingness. So before, I used to think, you know, white man with a beard, I'm gonna be honest, that's how I perceived God. Like there was some white dude up in the heavens, you know, dictating everything. But then through the end of this journey, my belief system got flipped all the way around. And I feel like this is actually it resonates best with me now. And it makes more sense than it did before, because in my youth, I always questioned, like, why is there just this man dictating everything? Blah, 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 blah. But we're not getting to that. Number 3, withdrawing. Now, my withdrawing phase was pretty hard because I am a Cancer, so I'm very emotional. And when I withdraw hard. Like, I go into this shell. And when I started withdrawing in school, I actually became not addicted to marijuana, but I got really joined to marijuana to the point where it was like the only thing that was keeping me going. Like, I was just like, I'm gonna be honest, I was smoking to go to sleep, smoking to eat food, smoking to be alive. I was just smoking, smoking, smoking. And during this part, I had cut myself off from all my friends. I cut myself off from my parents and family. And I literally stayed in this shell, and I withdrew from everything, basically everyone and everything around me. Like school, I withdrew from school. Not literally withdrew, like I was still going, but my mind wasn't in it anymore. My heart wasn't in it. I was just kind of like, dang, why am I here? Why am I on this planet? Like, none of this makes sense. I started just withdrawing from Earth. Like, that's how it felt. And I was so high out of my mind during this time that I literally was just like, what the heck? Like, nothing made sense, but it wasn't supposed to make sense, if that makes sense. And so the third phase is withdrawing. And during this stage, I just want to say, do not be me and do not cut off those around you. Because I suffered depression for a heavy period, and I didn't have to, because I had people around me, but I pushed them all away because I didn't really understand what was going on during this time. Like, I didn't know I was going through the dark night of the soul. So it all felt like it was, I don't know, like it was a sad movie. You know, I was the, you know, starring actor in my moment, being depressed and sad. And so my, you know, bad writing of my movie cut everybody off and stay in your room and smoke weed. Like, it was just bad. But I will say, please don't be me. Do the opposite of me. If you are feeling like you want to withdraw from everything, that is the time you need to start expressing yourself more to those around you so they can either help you, get you help, or just, you know, be there. You know, everybody needs someone to talk to. Everybody needs a hug now and then. Don't withdraw from love, okay? Keep love. Always, always find love with anything and everything. And that was my biggest problem in school, is I was in this loveless environment. And being in a loveless environment, it was very easy for me to just get with that same energy and not love back. So cutting people off was like second nature. Like, hey, nobody loves me anyway, so whatever, deuces. And when I started withdrawing, like, I always was like, dang, maybe I should reach out to somebody and, you know, let them know that I'm actually just super depressed right now. Like, I don't hate them, I'm just super depressed. But I was so sad. I was so sad. And that's so sad. Like, thinking about it makes my heart hurt, because I'm like, I wish I would have handled it differently. But honestly, I didn't know what was going on. And I was pretty blinded by weed, not gonna lie, okay? Javen was a stoner. And hey, fun fact, I actually wasn't Javen in college. I was Jay. Nobody knew me as Javen. That's the crazy part. I had become like a different person, which is why, looking back on it now, identity crisis for real, because I'm back in that space where, like, it's cool, do your thing, anybody can smoke, hey, I don't judge, you do your life, you smoke, you drink, you party, woohoo, good for you. But for me, that's not my thing, that is not me, that's not who I want to be, that's not what I was called on this planet. Like, it just doesn't work for me now. But back then, whoo, stoner. Anyway, back to the topic. Phase 4 of the Dark Night of the Soul, transformation. This is the final phase and the best phase, because with transformation comes clarity. And this is how I'm going to wrap all this up, with a nice little bow, because it's for me, it's a testimony. But my transformation stage came the last quarter of my college experience. So let me back up. We're now 2019 going into 2020. And I'm feeling this strong pull towards God. Mind you, the year before that, hot mess, didn't have nothing to do with God. But 2019, God began to truly enter my life again and start speaking to me. And I was actually listening. I started repenting, started praying more. Even though I was still participating in some stuff that I probably shouldn't have been, I had, you know, I was trying. And so I feel like God actually did honor me, or not honor me, but honor the effort that I was putting in during this time. So he really did, you know, push me forward to where I needed to be. So now we're going into 2020, and I feel like this intense energy. Like, and when I say intense energy, I just felt like change has to happen. If I don't make change happen now, it's never going to happen. So I was actually supposed to take 2 more quarters of school, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take 5 classes this quarter and just be done with school. I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to just do it. I'm going to take all these classes. I'm going to pass, and I'm going to get the heck out of this college town. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to get my life right. So that was my mindset going into the new year. So I do it. I signed up for 5 classes, and it was hard. It was hard because school was whooping my tail. And I was still, I had stopped drinking during this time, but I was still smoking. So, you know, a little lazy here and there. But I was trying, and I was like, you know what, you know, God, what we got to do? What do I have to do in order to finish? And so by this time, I was actually truly not trying to connect with God, but I was being true to myself. And being true to myself, I knew that I couldn't do it without God. So I started writing to God. I started praying to God, and I started literally writing to God every night. Every time I would sin, I would repent, and I would write to God, literally explain to him, hey, Lord, you know, you're the only person who can take this desire away from me to smoke. You're the only person who can change me. You're not even a person. You're the only one who can change me. You're the only one who can help me through this time. You're the only one who can help me pass school. Like, I need you right now to help me, please. Like, help me. Help me. I'm struggling. And God started to take that desire away from me, which was really weird, low-key, because it was like there. I went from low-key smoking like a blunt or two a day to now I'm cool. Like, I'll be sober. Mind you, I hadn't been sober for like 2 years, so being sober was foreign to me at that time. But then I was like, okay, I'm gonna try this. And then I started to realize that, hey, I actually like being sober. So I want to say February of 2020 this year, is when God, I don't want to say he gave me the Holy Spirit back, because that sounds weird, but that was the first time I had actually felt the Spirit of the Lord. Like, I prayed in February, and I travailed, I interceded, and everything literally changed the next month. Like, I felt like that prayer opened up something, like, opened up some doors that weren't open to me prior to then. Anyway, sorry, guys. I'm trying to recall. The only reason I'm talking like this and I'm breaking everything down all weird is because I'm trying to recall all this stuff. You know, I've put it in the back of my mind. So I'm trying to access those files. And as it comes up, is as I speak. And anyway, sorry to sound crazy, but the transformation came in March. Okay, catch up. We're in March now. And by the end of March, I stopped smoking. I stopped drinking. Oh, man, I didn't even mention this, but I had really, really, really bad anxiety during college, like terrible anxiety. I was actually on medication for it and everything. The reason I had anxiety is because I the traumatic experience I went through as a child, it left me with anxiety and PTSD. So blah, 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 taking medicine for that. But God helped me get over all of that within March. Whew. And after I got over all of that, I felt this transformation just in my life. Like, one, I was done with school. So that was a big weight off of my shoulders, because I had finished, you know, I graduated. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm done. I don't have to go here no more. Like, this is great. So that was a big weight off of my shoulders. Two, I had stopped smoking, and then I was not drinking, and then I wasn't having anxiety. So I felt like a new human being. I was like, oh man, wow, I feel great. I haven't felt like this way since 2008. Like, everything was just better. And I mean, there's a whole bunch more I could talk about as far as the transformation thing goes, but I'm trying to keep it as lighthearted as possible, because I'm gonna be honest, my college experience wasn't the best. It was very dark. It was very dark. And I choose to look back on it now as a necessary stepping stone to get me to where I am now. I had to go through all of those things to be the person I am now. I had to go through all of those things to realize that I was capable of half the stuff I was capable of. And if I hadn't gone through that, I would realize, or I wouldn't realize that, you know, who I am in God. Like, honestly, in my head, it was sooner or later. Everything that happened in college, that chapter is closed, that door is closed. I don't have to go through that again. I've experienced it, I've lived through it, and it's made me a better person ultimately, because I realized that a lot of the stuff I was participating in college, it truly wasn't for me. And by for me, I mean, I always felt guilty about it. I always felt like this is wrong, like this, it wasn't right for me. And I was a people pleaser in college, not gonna lie, no cap. I used to be not really a party boy, but I used to throw parties for people to make them happy. And that's how all of this smoking, drinking stuff even started in the first place, me trying to please other people. Whew. I feel like I left out some pretty like big details of my college experience, but that's okay, you know? I'm not gonna dwell on it. It's whatever now. It's all in the past. I can only speak about it from the perspective I have now, and that is that it was necessary. I'm thankful for all of it. Of course, it was a hot mess, can't lie about that. I honestly wouldn't wish my college experience on anybody or even speak that, because like, hot mess for sure. There was a lot of sad nights, a lot of depression, a lot of crying, a lot of anxiety attacks, a lot of hiding in my blanket, a lot of weed, and just a lot of bad people. But there was also some beautiful people, beautiful souls. There were some very good moments that I will remember for the rest of my life. Oh, there were some, you know, beautiful moments. The area I was in was super cool sometimes. And by sometimes, I mean, I'm a nature boy. So I would be on my sad boy nature vibe and be outside and hiking and, you know, exploring the jungle. No, I'm just playing. It wasn't the jungle. It was more like the desert. But exploring the desert, and there was beautiful rivers and lakes, and it was a nice vibe. Like, it was cool and everything for the most part. But I was a hot mess. That is the truth. That is the truth. Or was the truth. I am not a hot mess now. I'm still a mess, but not a hot mess. And I'm God's mess. And he cleans me up regularly. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to be, I'm trying to think about this from a better perspective. Honestly, I view college sometimes in a bad light, but, you know, I'm trying to honor everything that I've been through, because everything happens for a reason. There's no coincidences. Everything I went through in college, I had to go through. I had to experience it. I had to live through it. And I'm glad that I did, because seriously, who knows who I would have turned out to be if God wasn't working on me. Seriously, I don't know. All I know is that transformation came right on time, and it propelled me to start a podcast, propelled me to move back home and reconnect with my family, reconnect with love. My relationship with God got repaired out of it. Like, there were so many beautiful things that came after the college experience. And I experienced pleasure over pain again. And I then realized what it was all about. We got to praise him through the good and the bad. You know, he's amazing. He's awesome. For so long, I got so caught up in just the bad side of life and not wondering why God would allow things to happen. But then I realized that the bad is what actually brings us closer to God. Crazy as it is, we probably pray harder when we are sad, depressed, when we're not in the, you know, best place. It's probably when we are the closest to God, because it causes us to seek him. It causes us to scream and pray and cry out to him. It causes us to want to draw closer to him. Because see, you know, when he lets that love loose, whew, that's a real high right there. And when I got that true dose of love from God, feeling that love, when I felt that love, I knew I didn't need to smoke anymore. I knew I didn't need to party. I knew I didn't need to have, you know, fake friendships in my life. Like, I knew it wasn't anything compared to that love, God's love. And that's the truth, honestly. And anybody who is going through the dark night of the soul, you know, I'm praying for you. And when I say I'm praying for you, I know what that is like. I know what that's like. And I don't wish that on anyone. It's a very confusing time in your life. You probably, you know, you're face to face with your shadow. You're face to face with your ego, with every bad aspect of yourself. It emerges, but it's a purging process. You have to know what's buried within your subconscious. You have to know what's buried within your heart so you can purge it, so you can get rid of it. And a lot of it is these deep roots that are planted in us as children, and then they grow up. And by the time we're older, you know, they're full on plants or trees within us. And a lot of the stuff that I was dealing with in college, it was these seeds that have been planted in me as a child, and they had been watered so much by the time I was in college, they had grew up and I experienced a different side of myself. But it was all necessary, because now that I know that part of me exists, woo, I done threw the blood on it. Look, one of my biggest prayers is, Lord, chain up my flesh. I don't care. I kick and scream, chain my flesh up. I bind that joke up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Remember the battle and do no more. Like, it's that serious for me, because I know that side of myself. I know the fleshly part of my being now, like never before. I knew of it somewhat in my youth and whatnot, in my teens, but I didn't experience it. Now that I know just how real my shadow was or is, I know how to combat it. I know how to battle with it. I know where to put it at the feet of the Lord. Like, God is amazing. Seriously. That's all I can say. The process was a mess. 100%. No cap. It was a hard process. Dark night of the soul is a hard process. But, you know, God is good and he's going to see you through it. You just, when you go through it, you know, for the people who are going through it, keep praising God through it. Seriously, keep praising God through it. Even if you don't understand it, keep praising him through it, and just realize that it's all a mirror. Everything that you're going through is a mirror showing you what's on the inside, the stuff that's buried within your heart. You know, if you don't purge it and get it out now, it's going to be with you for the rest of your life. And again, I'm not saying like it's a quick process. You know, there was parts of this journey that I was going down where I thought everything was okay. You know, a lot of it was depressing or depressing, but there were some days where I thought things were okay. And even now, after all this happened, I've got to experience more life. I've lost 3 family members, you know, after all of this, after a revelation, after God, you know, helped me, you know, a testimony like no other. And then I went right back on the other side of the scale and experienced more pain. But that's all a part of the process, going through it to know what you're strong and what you can truly do and what God can do within you. You know, there's nothing God that will put in your life that you can't handle. You can handle all things through Christ who strengthens us. Come on now, y'all. You know it. You know it. So just be mindful. Honestly, Dark Night of the Soul builds awareness like no other. And when you are aware, you're awake at that point. And I say awake, spiritually awake. I'm not talking about this mumble jumble they be talking about. I'm talking about truly spiritually awake. Being sensitive to the spirit is important. You know, one day the Holy Spirit is going to leave the earth. But those of us that have truly woken up, we know we will always be connected to God and the Holy Spirit. So that's all I have to say for y'all today, y'all. I just hope I was able to say or, you know, share this part of my story with you, whoever is going through it, to know that even through the darkest times, God will never forsake you. He will always see you through. And he does it in his timing, divine timing. Not when you think, but when you least expect it is when God moves. But all you got to do is keep the faith, hope, and pray. Please pray and repent. Repent for your sins. Please don't be me at the beginning of my dark night of the soul experience, because I did not pray. I did not repent. And I suffered a lot longer than I probably should have because of it. But also, I would like to say, be sincere in it. Be sincere. And the moments when you feel that intuition, you feel that voice in you saying it's time to pray, or it's time to do this, it's time to give something to the Lord, do it. Don't ignore it. Please, please, please. I love you all. God bless you. And just know, if you are going through this situation right now, God loves you. He has a plan for you, and it's all going to work out. Everything works together for your highest good. God bless you, and have a great day.